Some priests would be very tempted to give a very long sermon on a day like today. You're a captive audience, and you're in trouble if I go in that direction, because I have 1, 2, 3, 4 pages of notes, but I'm not going to use them. I recognize it's wonderful to see so many people here. A lot of people are standing, and there are some families with young kids here. So I'll do my best to keep it very, very short. Okay? So make sure you sing along with the choir afterwards. So I want to tell you a story, first of all. There was this young priest, and his cardinal, his bishop, sent him to Rome to study. So he went to Rome to study, and he was able to rent a small room in this Italian woman's house. She rented out a room. So he settled in, and you know, there were strangers at first. He was learning a bit of Italian. She was learning a little bit of English, and he just had a basic bedroom, and he used to have to go outside to eat. So after a couple of days, the landlady became very friendly towards him. And she said to him, Father, come and have dinner with me in the evening time. And she was a spectacular cook, and he was delighted to get home-cooked meal several days a week, and it was great. So the young priest was saying Mass every day in a church nearby, and he was going to do his studies as well. And then it was getting near the end of his time there, after about 6 months, and she invited him down for a meal again, and he said he's going to broach a question that was sensitive. And she gave him beautiful wine, beautiful pasta, everything else as well. And he says, Mama, he said to her, he says, you've been so kind to me as a priest. You have given me delicious food, wine. You've looked after me very well. But he says, there's one question I'd like to ask you. She says, what is it, Father? She said. He says, every Sunday I see you here and you never go to Mass. So she put down her fork and she took a glass, a big swig of the wine. Father, it is like this. I go at Christmas. I go at Easter. You've got to realize I am not a fanatic. So it's wonderful that we don't have any fanatics at St. Joe's. Seriously speaking, on Good Friday, if you missed it, you missed something very special. We had a huge cross here, from here right down to the end of the sanctuary. Big, huge cross. And we invited people who had any special intention or special request to write it down on that small post-it and to come and place it on the cross. It was, you could use the word, someone said it was nearly miraculous to see. Practically everybody in the church, from very young to very old, wrote down some special intention. And it was usually one of great trial and great difficulty in their life. I have reserved for myself the privilege of removing those post-its, and we put them in a paper bag, and they're burnt on the Easter fire, which was last night, because they're very personal and they're very sacred. Now, while I don't study them and look at them, it is impossible not to see some of the things that people have written there. And believe me, it would be measured in saying that some people are carrying very heavy crosses indeed. Some people in this congregation right now are carrying very heavy crosses indeed. And the shame is sometimes they keep it secret and sometimes they carry it alone. And that is the great message of Easter. Classical spirituality says that at the beginning of our life, God takes the soul. God takes your soul and he kisses it. And it goes then into your body and you become a human being. And that kiss is so sweet that often we spend the rest of our lives looking for that same sweetness. But unfortunately, we can't find it outside of God. We can only find it in God. Remember the words of St. Augustine. My heart is restless until it rests in you. And we see how that is lived out in the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve lived together in full communion with each other, with God, and with the world, the earth that we live in. There was perfect communion between God and humanity and all of created things. And that is God's plan for the world. But now the whole of salvation history is telling us that people led the people of Egypt, the people of Israel, out of slavery in Egypt into the promised land. But when they got to the promised land, people then began to realize that it was much easier to take the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt than to take Egypt out of the people. You get what I'm saying? They became, just as the Egyptians treated them, they began to treat their neighbors and other people like that as well. There was division, there was hatred, there was slavery all over again. And it got so bad that at the end they said, there's only one person who can save us. That is God himself. And that is why God sent Jesus into the world, so that he would restore paradise, what Jesus called the kingdom of God, that everybody would live together in justice, peace, and joy. And that is what God wants for the world, in and through us as well. God wants us to have justice, peace, and joy, and God wants us to be agents of justice, peace, and joy as well. All of those red tags, and they were very profound, and there were literally hundreds of them. If you can imagine all of the things that were written there, becoming a fist of destruction, a fist of pain, a fist of pain, a fist of guilt, a fist of resentment, of division, of so many things that steal life from us. It was that fist that hammered the nails into the hands of Jesus. It was that fist that shoved the spear into his side. That is what Jesus died for, to take all that pain and all that suffering onto himself. Every one of you, mystically, Jesus knew you when he died on the cross. He knew everything that would happen in your life, everything that was done to you, everything that you did to somebody else. Jesus knew all of that, and he took all of that unto himself. And that became that fist that hammered the nails into his hand, that stabbed his side, that rammed that crown of thorns onto his head, that whipped him as he carried the cross and nailed him to the cross. He took all of it unto death. Because what he did was he never lost sight, he never lost connection with the fact of God's love for him, God's forgiveness for him, and God's desire for communion in our lives at all times. So, very simply, leave that thing, whatever it may be, on the cross, and don't take it back. Because Jesus died so that you would be set free from it. Leave it with him. Leave it on the cross. Let it die with him. And don't take it back. There's a great temptation in everyone of us not to take Egypt out of ourselves. So leave it on the cross. Let it die with him. He came that we may have life and have it in its fullness. And that is why God's beautiful love conquered sin and death, conquered guilt and resentment. In the end, God had the last word in raising Jesus from the dead. Life and love are always stronger than sickness and death. Your life and your love, united with Christ, will never be destroyed by guilt, by worry, by anxiety, by stress, by trauma in your life, by loneliness. Connected with God, you will never be destroyed by them. You will be victorious over them. There's just a few things that Jesus said before, when in the resurrection, he said two things. He said one, he said to Mary Magdalene, peace be with you. That is very simply a restoration of relationship. Peace be with you. Can't find my notes now when I need them. So then he said, in his resurrection, go to Galilee, and it was there you will find me. I'm just coming to a conclusion right now. Two more minutes and I'm done. He said, go to Galilee, you will find me. Who is in Galilee? It was the community gathered in his name. You are that community gathered in his name. You are that community gathered in his name. He says, make your home in me as I make mine in you. Let us know that Jesus has made his home in each one of us. He said, I shall not leave you orphans. I shall come to you. In a short time, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. And I will live and you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And last one. A little while later, Jesus said, anyone who loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we shall come to them and make our home with them. St. Augustine shows us that when we are looking for God, don't be looking for God outside of yourself. Look for God dwelling within yourself. Because God has kissed your soul, and that kiss is eternal. And the only way you will encounter it, St. Augustine tells us, if you can become quiet within, become that still pond. I like sailing. If I'm out in Lake Michigan, there's a 4-foot wave. I can throw a big, huge rock into Lake Michigan. It makes no difference. You can't even see it. It's so topsy and turvy. If I go to a pond inside a woods, in a forest, that is perfectly calm, even a small pebble will cause a ripple. What St. Augustine is telling us is to become perfectly still and quiet within. And when we do that, when we calm our minds and our hearts, and we become so quiet, God's first language is silence. So if we can hear the silence of God within us, we will then discover the risen Lord present in our lives. And finally, going to Galilee means that a community of faith, if it is strong and vibrant in acts of kindness and support to each other. And that is why it is so important that everybody is welcome here all of the time. Because the more people that come here, the more people that can be touched with a kind action, an encouraging word that will make a difference in people's lives, that will make a difference in the life of the person who wrote that red note of loneliness, of isolation, of pain, of carrying a heavy cross. And that is the purpose of a faith community. So you all belong here. You are all welcome here. And when you are here, know that your words and your actions make a difference. It is helping Jesus manifest himself more and more in the world. It is helping the world to live in perfect communion with God, with each other, and the earth in which we live in.